Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So for our song this morning, it goes like this. They were sitting. They were sitting in the strawberry swing. Every moment was so precious, they were sitting. They were talking in the strawberry swing. Everybody was for fighting. Wouldn't want to waste a thing. Cold, cold water, bring me around. Now my feet won't touch the ground. Cold, cold water, what you say? It's such a perfect day. It's such a perfect day. I remember we were walking up to Strawberry Swing. I can't wait till morning. Wouldn't want to change a thing. Some people would say that this is one of British band Coldplay's most underrated songs. It's called Strawberry Swing. And according to a study conducted by the British Academy of Sound Therapy, it is one of the most psychologically relaxing songs ever recorded. In fact, it came in fifth on their list all time. This song talks about a child's sweetest memories of growing up. Slices of imagination, joy, and family all get distilled into this soft Afro-pop influenced and guitar finger-picked melody. If you haven't heard it before, trust me, it's well worth the time. Well, back in our neck of the woods, sorry to mention Britain, I guess, on this weekend. Right now, it is a celebration weekend for the United States as we get to set aside some time to trumpet the 4th of July, our National Independence Day. And you don't generally need to think too long or too hard about the many blessings that the freedom of this country has afforded to each and every one of us. So, from fireworks displays to campfires, time offs to cookouts, family get-togethers to coordinated sing-songs, this weekend often, at least historically, this year is probably different, but it mixes nostalgia and some much needed time off. But the thing is, time off isn't always that easy to accomplish, is it? Statistics show that nearly 60% of people on vacation continue to rhythmically check their smartphones. As well, as much as we would all like to say that the first thing that we do in the morning is to pray, or to read, or to go to breakfast, or have a breakfast, or to go for a walk, well, for many people they'd be mistaken, for more than 60% of people immediately check their phones. First thing they do when they get up to check for a text message, a Facebook post, an email, an Instagram highlight. See, we are a culture that constantly seems to want to be connected. And of course, instead of this making us steadier or more confident or more planted in who we are, in actuality, this kind of living only gives us more anxiety, not less. In fact, and I have to thank Greg Seltz for this, because he helped me find this, researchers have a term for this growing habit of checking our cell phones multiple times a day. It's the term FOMO. Perhaps you've heard of it before, FOMO. Or the fear of missing out. Officially, FOMO is a concern that others may be having more fun than you or more rewarding experiences than us. And this causes people suffering from FOMO to stay continually connected so that they can see what other people are doing. And yes, statistically, some 62% of we Americans are said to suffer from this condition. Still, with all that said, maybe there's some inner head nodding going on here. On the flip side, have you also noticed that we have a hard time unplugging, even though we know it is healthy for us? Even though we know that unplugging increases productivity, it refreshes our outlooks overall. See, we are tired, but that doesn't stop us. Indeed, author Bren Brown even says that exhaustion has actually become a yardstick in our country for worth. In her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, she writes this: "We are a nation of exhausted and overstressed adults raising overscheduled children. We use our spare time to desperately search for joy and meaning in our lives. We think accomplishments and acquisitions will bring joy and meaning. But that pursuit could be the very thing that is keeping us so tired and afraid to slow down." Wow. But wait a minute, you may be thinking, certainly that was true of us, you know, pre-March 2020. And the COVID-19 shutdown, the imposed societal slowdown, but I don't think that's true of us now. Well, that may be the case, but maybe we have learned in this time some new habits. Maybe we have, kind of redefined time, and maybe we've repented of our busyness and our breakneck schedules. Or perhaps in this time we've become even more addicted to our mobile devices and our on-demand services. I mean, maybe we've carved out some time to cultivate a new depth of a walk with God, new mental health regime, or perhaps our anxiety is only spread more and more like wildfire within us as the worries mount as to when normalcy will return, about contracting the virus and giving it to loved ones, the isolation, the loneliness that suffocates our lives with negativity and overthinking and disorientation. I mean, maybe we found a new sense of health and outlook. Maybe this time hasn't seemed much like anything to us, because after all, we were in a place in life where we could really kind of call the shots on time and money spent and travel, these kind of things. Or perhaps this time has only redefined a new kind of PTSD. As we've lost control, we feel stunned by the new balance of work and school and life. Has anger or frustration strangled us by the constant change of today? Have we kicked and clawed and scratched only to try to get back to normal? Wow, isn't this such a contrast to Matthew 11? "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Are you craving some rest? Wouldn't it be great if there was something out there, some inner peace that mindfulness just cannot manufacture? And this rest could put an end to the nagging voice of the regret from the past. It could settle the specter of uncertainty of all the ups and downs of present-day life. It is, it isn't, it is, it is. Wear it, don't wear it. Yep. There is something more going on than just another protest or just a pandemic or just another political promise that was kept or not kept or should be kept. Again, as Seltz would say, when will we learn? Material solutions. Acquiring success or status or fame will not fill a spiritual emptiness. I mean, just imagine a peace that could smooth out relationships and allow you to see people differently, see yourself differently. Imagine a peace that might even produce something simpler, like a much needed night's sleep. See, I think what we need to see even more than the benefits that could be there is the true cause of our unrest. See, the truth behind our constant weariness is a spiritual one. I think this is what Seltz is trying to get at. There's something more going on than just these things of the world. When will we learn? Material solutions, acquiring success or status or fame will not fill fill a spiritual emptiness. Escape won't either. Have you noticed alcohol use has skyrocketed more recently in this contracted life of ours? As have other more computer-related temptations. And as numerous events have only shown us from the past, we get good at shifting around the problems and not ever really dealing with the real ones. We're good at throwing material solutions at spiritual dilemmas. And honestly, these tactics are as old as time itself. Let me give you some context. At the beginning of Matthew 11, John the Baptist is asking if Jesus is really the one. John the Baptist is asking him. Jesus answers by saying, in essence, that people expect the Savior from God to condone, they either one of two things. They either expect the Savior from God to condone everything with a celebration, a.k.a. a wedding song, or they expect the Savior to come along and to condemn everything, just making everything a giant dirge, like a funeral song. But in actuality, Jesus' coming will cause a division. In other words, his ministry will bring judgment and salvation. It brings both healing and division. And for we who are Lutherans, this sounds very close to law and gospel, and that's because it is. Jesus knew how to celebrate. But he never let that celebration make him a glutton or a drunkard. He told the truth, but I don't ever see him becoming an abrasive killjoy. So instead of allowing people to dig in and throw invectives at each other from one side or the other, there were times that he called people to repent of their lifestyles and their sinful waywardness because of what it was doing to them, to their relationship with God, to the greater society. As well, there were times that he celebrated in the face of elder brothers and prickly Pharisees because the lost had been found. See, it's truth and grace. It's repentance and renewal. It's salvation by faith, and it's living it out. It's freedom in Christ and realizing that not everything is beneficial. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Not a rest you discover. Not a rest you earn. A given rest. A revealed rest. So what does that mean? Well, Jesus has what we need most. Matthew 11, 27 to 28. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, through Jesus, all things were created. Through him, they get their meaning in place, so he has the rest that we need. Don't scour the internet for it. Don't fill a passport in desperate search of it. Don't sleep with this person and this person and this person trying to find it. Don't work your way to the top, experiencing that finally in the penthouse or the boardroom you'll find it, because you won't. Go to Jesus. He will grant you that peace you long for free. And that's why he invites you to him. Go to Jesus. Just remember, though, he moved first. He first came to us. And see, more than just that being a scorecard tally, this means that he made it possible for us to come to him. The cross is a bridge to our real freedom and rest. The empty tomb, a path through death. Through them, forgiveness is given, along with the power, discernment, and perspective to live a new life by the Spirit. This path was paved by Jesus alone. This wasn't 40-60 us to him. This wasn't 25-75. This wasn't even 1-99. No, while we were still lost and condemned, full of anxiety and mistrust, tempted by time and by the adversary, he sought us out. So if you're tired of carrying that heavy burden, go to Jesus. Come to me, he says. God loves you. And he invites us to him to take upon us his yoke. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Remember, there's a deeper spiritual issue here. In her book, The Soul of Money, Lynn Twist says, for me, and for many of us, our first waking thought of the day is, I didn't get enough sleep. The next one is, I don't have enough time. Whether true or not, that thought of not enough occurs to us automatically before we question it or examine it. We spend most of the hours of the day, or the days of our lives, hearing, explaining, complaining, or worrying about what we don't have enough of. We don't have enough work. We don't have enough profits. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough weekends. And of course, we don't have enough money, ever. We're not thin enough. We're not smart enough or fit enough or successful enough or rich enough, ever. Before we even sit up in bed, we're already inadequate, already lacking something. And by the time we go to bed at night, our minds race with a litany of what we didn't get or didn't get done that very day. What begins as a simple expression of a hurried life grows into the great justification for an unfulfilled life. Wow, that is the domino effect of weariness, isn't it? But Jesus is here today to say, enough is enough. He has the real rest we desire. He has everything that we need. And he invites us to himself. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So, scarcity or strawberry swings need no longer define you. Instead, let God's law and God's gospel, God's love and mercy and work and will do that for you. And then come and find real rest in him. In Jesus' name, amen.